From a studio high above the clouds of the Okanagan Valley, this is the Cannabis Podcast. Exploring the world of Canadian cannabis culture, one toke at a time. Now, here's your host and bud tender, Gary Johnston.
And with that introduction, that would be my opportunity to say, welcome back. Thanks for coming back to the Cannabis Podcast. I truly appreciate the fact that you are here, or maybe, just maybe, this is your very first visit. Well, if it is, I'm glad you decided to come on by, and I hope you're going to enjoy yourself. For the next 30 or 40 minutes, we are going to tell you a whole bunch about a plant I absolutely love, and that is cannabis. But before we get too much further, let me remind you, this program is intended only for those 19 or older in your jurisdiction and is intended purely for entertainment and perhaps educational purposes. You should always consume your cannabis responsibly. In episode 152, we of course are going to recognize and chat a little about yesterday's 420, plus I have an opinion piece on 420 from my buddy David Wiley. There is no cannabis relief in the latest budget, unfortunately. I remind you about the importance of mental health, especially when it comes to cannabis. We had more places to consume this 420 than last, and a listener review of a herbal vaporizer. Plus, on Cultivar Corner, I discovered that vapes can work for me with Terra Labs Lemonhead Vape. All of that and more on episode 152 of the Cannabis Podcast. As always, I want to thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate the fact that you are a listener of the Cannabis Podcast, and I also want to thank my supporters. At buymeacoffee.com/cannabispodcast, let me thank Jordana, Keith, and Jordan. Plus, if you feel so inclined and you like what you hear, you could go there too, and you could buy me a doobie, just like Jalen did. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Jalen. Jalen from Yellowknife bought me a doobie, been listening for a few months now, loves it so much. Thank you for making such a great podcast. And I appreciate your support, Jalen. I truly do. And at Patreon, I want to thank Tony, Roger, Rob, Gage, and Lloyd for all of your support at Patreon. Plus, we're welcome a new member to the family. Let's welcome Mitchell to the Patreon family. Thanks so much for your support, Mitchell. I truly appreciate it. Your welcome package is on the way. And let me be the first to say, happy 420. Okay, in all honesty, happy belated 420. Since this episode drops the day after, I have no choice but being belated in my offering. Did you have a good 420? I hope you did. I did. I celebrated 420 in true Canadian style. I woke up, did a little wake and bake to remember that it is 420. Went around, visited a few stores to see what celebrations were going on. There were some mild celebrations going on. And then came back and started working on the podcast. It's been a good 420 for me. I hope it's been a good 420 for you. Did you attend some events in your area? Did you get together with some friends and smoke some doobies? Or did you just sit outside your backyard, smoke a joint, look up at the sky and say, ah, it's lovely being in Canada where cannabis is legalized. Yes, there's problems. I know there's still some things we got to fix. But hey, at least we can smoke cannabis legally in this country. And that is something to celebrate on 420. So happy belated 420. And now let's get to our first story. And for this story, we're going to BIV.com. BC cannabis industry is calling for government action. The BC cannabis growers say the recently tabled Cannabis Act final report was a step forward, but that more needs to be done to address the many challenges faced by the industry. More than 5 years after cannabis was legalized in Canada, the government released its final report of legislative review of the Cannabis Act in late March. The report included more than 50 recommendations for government in areas including public health, Indigenous communities, the cannabis industry, and medical access. I was quite pleased with some of the recommendations in the report. It certainly went above and beyond what they were mandated to be able to do, said Deepak Anand, principal of ASDA Consultancy Services, a Vancouver-based consulting firm focusing on the cannabis industry. He said some of the recommendations, if implemented by government, will have major positive impacts on Canadian and BC cannabis businesses. This includes allowing pharmacies to dispense medical cannabis, something that is not currently permitted. Instead, individuals need to order medical cannabis online from a licensed producer. One of the big changes that the panel has proposed is to treat this as any other pharmaceutical medicines and to be able to get it at a local pharmacy, said Anand. Anand said he was pleased to see recommendations about removing taxation for medical cannabis and considering a review of the excise tax model, as it was based on a much higher average product price than what is seen today. I think that is quite significant. Currently, most cannabis cultivators in Canada are not profitable, and that's because the government is making more money than the businesses themselves, he said. There could have been higher recommendations on looking at adjusting tax. Over 50% of bankruptcies in Canada in the last year have been cannabis companies. I don't think the government and the review panel went far enough to be able to make the factor a little bit more robust and make sure the taxes are eliminated. Julia Cameron, a spokesperson for Delta-based cannabis grower Pure Sun Farms and a board member for the Cannabis Council of Canada, said the report reflects some changes the industry really needs now, particularly around reducing administrative complexity on businesses' ability to communicate information about their products and in enforcement of illicit markets. We're really happy to see that there's an increased ability in the design of packaging and what can be put on packaging to communicate information about the products to the consumer, said Cameron. It will help consumers understand the brand differences, and particularly the differences between our products and the products that are available in the illicit market. The report also recognized the challenges faced by small-scale cannabis producers, which make up around one-third of the cannabis producers in BC, according to the Craft Cannabis Association of BC. It recommends that provinces and territories consider allowing direct-to-consumer sales, including farm gate and mail orders, from smaller cultivators and processors to allow them to generate and keep more revenue than they are able to generate and keep by selling cannabis through distributors. We're forced to work with our centralized distribution system in BC and Ontario, two of the biggest markets, and they're geared towards large-scale licensed producers. So there have been many challenges for the small-scale operators, said Sarah Campbell, director of Craft Cannabis Association of BC, which represents small-scale independent producers in the province. We would absolutely welcome any opportunity for us to keep a little bit of our money in our pockets and just to stay afloat, because there are many businesses that are shuttering their doors. However, some issues that the BC cannabis industry has long been advocating for are not included in the report, including increasing the permitted tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, level in cannabis, according to Anand. THC is the compound responsible for the intoxication effects experienced when consuming marijuana. Companies can legally include up to a maximum of 10 milligrams of THC in a packaged product, whereas in the illicit market, a product may contain up to 100 milligrams. And let me add a sidebar here, because unfortunately this story is not entirely clear in this regard. That is 10 milligrams of THC in an edible cannabis product. End of sidebar. Meanwhile, Kirk Tussaud, CEO of Cobble Hill, BC-based Great Gardner Farms, said he was disappointed that there weren't more concrete proposals for action on reducing some of the paperwork burdens felt in particular by microcultivators like Great Gardner Farms. For the amount of data that we are required to track as small producers, it's extraordinary. There's a disproportionate impact the paperwork burden has on small businesses, as big companies can hire a dedicated compliance officer so they can set it and forget about it, said Tussaud. We are currently operating with the two founders as unpaid volunteers. When I have to spend 3-4 hours a day on what I consider to be mostly useless paperwork, it's a challenge. And that story again from BIV Business Intelligence for BC. Another story by David Brown from StratCan.com, and I guess this is not a surprise to anybody after the federal budget came out. As expected, the federal budget 2024 did not include any changes to cannabis excise rates. This is unsurprising, despite recent recommendations for such changes by the Federal House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance and years of industry lobbying, given the complexities of the issue. Nonetheless, some of the industry took the opportunity to highlight the issues of Canada's $1 per gram federal excise rate. David Klein, CEO of Canopy Growth, called it a missed opportunity and an oversight that signals a lack of commitment to the legal cannabis industry, as well as the jobs and economic growth we create. The failure to correct this broken tax regime and to leave other critical issues like potency limits unaddressed will continue to hinder the growth of legal cannabis business and compromises consumer access to safe, regulated products, he continued in a post shared on social media. Others had held out hope that such changes were coming. Bina Goldenberg, CEO of Organigram, had said in February that the changes proposed by the House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance were what was needed to give the industry an edge in the global market. The pre-budget recommendations could not have come at a better time. Excise reform is critical to the long-term viability of the Canadian cannabis industry. The positive impact of the proposed reduction to a 10% ad valorem rate on the sustainability of this sector cannot be underestimated. We sincerely hope that the recommendation made by the Finance Committee is adopted by the federal, provincial, and territorial governments so that Canada can retain its position as global leader in the emerging cannabis movement. The industry has been calling for these changes for years now. A Cannabis Council of Canada survey from 2023 said 96% of respondents viewed the current model as excessively punitive. The recent report on the review of the Federal Cannabis Act suggested changes to the excise program that would see higher rates on higher potency products, a suggestion many in the industry were unsurprisingly not supportive of. Still, as others in the industry have noted, and StratCan has covered extensively, such changes will require coordination with provincial authorities, who take home 75% of every dollar collected and are not likely to be eager to give that up. Changing the rate structure on flower to a fixed 10% model, as the Federal House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance has recommended, would affect the provinces, and is something they probably wouldn't do without provincial consent, says Trina Fraser, a partner at Brazeau Seller Law in Ottawa. While the federal government could potentially unilaterally change these rates, doing so without the province's support would likely have significant political blowback. And in a politically contentious time, when governments are desperately looking for revenue, this becomes even more unlikely. One move the federal government could make is to lower the rate they collect, which is currently 25% of every dollar. It could also lower initial and annual fees for various aspects of licensing for cannabis producers. The fact that we don't see these kind of changes highlights how little leverage the industry has with both politicians and the general public. Despite years of lobbying efforts in Ottawa, the industry has been unable to generate the political capital required to push the issue over the line. While many of those operating cannabis businesses, especially small-scale producers, express frustration at this lack of response to their concerns, the reality is that politicians will only care when they know it's an issue voters care about. And there's very little knowledge of the issue outside of those working in or directly connected to this industry. Telling a politician that your company will go out of business if a specific policy doesn't change will not motivate them as much as telling them such and such issues will help them get reelected. While similarly regulated industries like alcohol enjoy all kinds of benefit from government programs, the cannabis industry in Canada has not been able to leverage that kind of political capital. Is this because politicians love alcohol but not weed? Maybe. Or it might be because beer, wine, and spirits operate a more sophisticated ground game at all levels of government and enjoy a much broader acceptance across the voting public than cannabis. Of course, these are long-term solutions, and many cannabis producers in Canada don't have that much time. More and more producers are throwing in the towel. Several dozen have chosen to revoke their own licenses this year alone, but that's the reality of this industry. No one is going to swoop in and save the day, batten down the hatches, and figure out how to operate in today's landscape, as flawed as it may be, because change will take a long time. And another great article by David Brown, and he is so correct, change in the cannabis industry takes an incredibly long time.
From the Cannabis Infused Studio in the Clouds, this is the Cannabis Podcast.
And now we introduce something new into the Cannabis Podcast. I guess we've kind of had a couple of things of like this in the past where people have sent me kind of the review of what they're thinking about, but I don't think we've had anything quite to this extent. So Tony is one of my patrons on Patreon. Hey, Tony, really appreciate your support. He's been a patron for a long time now. Truly appreciate Tony's support. And he just got himself an herbal vaporizer. And Tony has gifted us all with his review of his herbal vaporizer, and here it is. My new vape arrived this week, and I wanted to share my thoughts with you about it. First of all, I ordered the Planet of the Vapes 1 model, the PLTVO, for $99, which includes a free $10 gift card and a free 3.5-gram container to store my flower. Included with the vape are 5 different accessories, a cleaning brush, a dosing capsule which helps keep the oven clean, a replacement screen for the mouthpiece, a concentrate pad, and a pair of tweezers for removing the dosing capsule. The low price point made it a good starter vape for those wishing to get into the experience. Holding the vape in my hand felt tactile and intuitive. It just felt like the designers knew what they were doing. It's weighty and fits well in the palm of your hand. On the side are 3 buttons, a power button and 2 temperature control buttons. It reminded me very much of an old iPod. It was that intuitive. A large and bright OLED screen shows you the temperature and the length of time left on the sesh. After charging the PLTVO vape and doing 3 burn-offs to remove any manufacturing or packing debris, I was ready for the first taste. Being a fan of Doctor Who, I thought a strain called Sonic Screwdriver would be a good first experience, and oh my, it did not disappoint. The oven heated up to 390 degrees in a matter of seconds. The vape has haptic feedback to tell you when the oven's ready. Taking my first draw, I was overwhelmed with the flavors from the terpenes and limonene. I never knew there was so much flavor in flower. The next draw was clean, cool, and smooth. None of the scratchiness from smoking joints. The sesh lasted just over 3 minutes when the vape automatically turns off. For about 0.2 grams of flower, I was able to get 4 good seshes out of it. This will really stretch out my flower supply. Unlike smoking, where I end up in a cloud of haze where there are no clouds from the vape, making it suitable for indoor use. PLOTV really did think of everything, as they offer 4 different mouthpieces for the vape. This includes a water pipe adapter, mini bubbler, curved mouthpiece, and curved mini bubbler, making this entry-level vape very adaptable. If I had to list any cons to the vape, it would be in the battery. After 4 sessions, the battery was almost drained. There is no on-demand mode like higher-end vapes, and the PLOTVO uses a micro-USB charging socket instead of the USB-C socket. Overall, the POTVO vape is an affordable, portable, and powerful option for anyone looking to get into vapes. Its strengths far outweigh its weaknesses, and I highly recommend this to any one of your listeners. Well, there you go. There is a recommendation from Tony for the Planet of the Apes 1 model, PLTVO, $99. I'm glad to see that this was Tony's reaction. Taking my first draw, I was overwhelmed with the flavors from the terpenes and limonene. I never knew there was so much flavor in flower. And that's exactly what I've been telling you every single cultivar quarter. When I take a joint, and then I take that same weed and put it through the vaporizer, it is head and shoulders the difference. I'm glad Tony has figured that out, and I hope his review of that vaporizer has helped you make some decisions for yourself. And one additional ad to the program today, because this was posted by my buddy David Wiley, and it is so appropriate. This is from theounce.ca. On 420, many Canadian stoners will likely hit up a chain cannabis shop to grab door crasher deals and maybe pick up some swag emblazoned with corporate pot logos. In our legalized and consumer-focused country, April 20th has morphed into Black Friday for potheads. Ironically, today's iteration of 420 as a way of scoring cheap weed is a lot closer to its original roots, which trace back to the fall of 1971, when a group of California teenagers hatched a plan to raid an abandoned cannabis crop. Decades later, in the 1990s, High Times popularized the term 420. Through a reform organization called Cannabis Action Network, which was affiliated with the magazine, the date April 20 began to include political and cultural protest, with rallies and smoke-ins quickly spreading to major cities across North America. It evolved from there into a counterculture holiday, used by cannabis advocates as a platform to preach an end to prohibition. Now, after 5 years of legalization, 420 is a ho-hum holiday as weed fatigue, perhaps more aptly burnout, has set in among many who once had a passion for the plant. Empty promises made by nincompoop cannabis CEOs, chill stoners ripping each other's throats out in online forums, profit over people as historic cannabis inequities are repeated in the corporate cannabis world. It's all become so pedestrian. So when 420 rolls around these days, if you're not trying to squeeze a few scant bucks out of people's pockets, what's it even about? One could argue there's still room for protest, but it might not look like the kind of hippie bong circle you'd expect. Rather, protest comes in the form of a 420-timed opinion piece, carefully crafted by corporate communication people and posted on the paywalled Globe and Mail website, in which well-heeled Organigram CEO Bina Goldenberg takes the byline on an op-ed arguing the excise tax is eating into industry profits. Corporate cannabis needs more cash to fund their executive team's exorbitant bonuses. Doesn't look as nice on protest placards as legalize it. Truth is, 420 is evolving with the times. It's no longer about the underdog, the oppressed, the unfairly jailed. It's no longer about a crowd lighting up at the same time in front of government buildings, counting on the idea that police wouldn't arrest an entire contingent of people for huffing on a plant. Congratulations, we won! It's legal now in Canada, and it's time to come to grips with the fact that 420 is just another day to make bank. Like it or not, corporatization has become cannabis culture. And if you don't like that, protest it on 420. And I do have to agree with a lot of what David says in there. It has become definitely a corporate culture, but I don't think we have to let it stay that way. We can take 420 back, not necessarily to turn it into a protest movement, although there's still some things to protest, but let's take 420 as our holiday, as truly our holiday, a day to enjoy, to smoke some cannabis with your friends, and just enjoy the day. Happy belated 420.
THC, CBD, terpene profiles, what's in me? Oh, please explain to me. Cultivar Corner, Cultivar Corner, oh yeah. up to the corner. Please explain this stuff to me.
I guess I have to describe this one as another accidental cult of our corner. This came about, in fact, just through life. Let me explain. In the past, I have tried using vaporizers, using 510 cartridges. In fact, I took one away to a conference one time years and years ago. Didn't get a buzz the entire weekend because it's all I took. And so I was tending to stay away from them. I think it was because of the distillate. That's what my head is saying. And now, I think I have some validation that that may in fact be correct. We recently spent a couple of days away. Nice little road trip to visit the kids and the grandkids. And as we were heading over there this weekend, I thought, you know, I usually take my little suitcase with all of my weed and roll my joints and go and hide in a corner. But I decided to try something different this time. I picked up a couple of different carts. This one is the one that we're doing today. And this is from a local company called Terra Labs. And this is their live resin vape. And I think that's the kicker. I think I've figured out what works for me. With the live resin, absolutely it does. Really nice hardware on this. In addition to that, I picked up the Yocan Kodo Pro. Really a cool little device. This sucker lasts forever. So, we're going to do a Cultivar Corner on a Lemonheads live resin vape from Terra Labs utilizing my Kodo Pro Yocan. My Yocan Kodo Pro. Let me first of all turn that on. 5 clicks, of course, with most of our vapes. And there we go. I get the logo of the Yocan. The beauty of this little guy is it's really tiny, and it holds a charge forever. I charged this up yesterday and used it a fair amount on the trip back. My power is still at full power. So I'm really impressed by that. Right now I'm running this at 2.5 or 2.7 volts. I don't want it really hot because I want to keep it fairly smooth on my throat. It can go all the way from 1.8 up to 4.2 in terms of a temperature range. Keeps track of how many puffs. Now, I haven't looked to the instructions to figure out how to reset that puff counter, because right now I'm sitting at 391, and that's with a few cartridges being used. That's not just one cartridge. It'd be really handy if that puff counter was related to the specific cartridge you were using, but we'll play with that a little bit later. So, here's the beauty, as you already know. And also, let me apologize if you hear a cat in the background. We are babysitting a cat at the moment, and right now it seems to be in a bit of a sneaky mood, and all I'm hearing is meows up there, so please ignore that. Here's the beauty of doing it through this nice little vaporizer. It's a USB-C charge device, so it really charges up nice and fast, too. And nice display. You hold it to press, so we're going to do that. And then I'll give you a description of what we're talking about. So this is sitting at a THC, fairly high THC, 72 to 78% THC. So with the Yocan Kodo, once I've enabled it, I'm just going to hold that button down and let me take my first hit. Now you may have heard, I kind of had to pop that. And that's something, of course, that 510 cartridges do. Used to get a lot of people coming into the store complaining about 510 cartridges. Probably the biggest pain point in the industry is the ability of some people to be able to use 510 cartridges and understand how they work. So really a nice smooth one. Again, 2.7 volts is the heat that I'm applying to this. And again, just ignore the cat. She'll eventually stop, I'm thinking. So, of course, the advantage of using a vape, and I really experienced that this weekend, the discretion that one can employ, the quickness with which one can employ and take a couple of hits and nobody even notices or smells a thing, really, really handy from that perspective, and I used that a lot over the weekend. I, in fact, almost used up an entire cartridge over the course of 2 days, but there you go. There is still some of this left. This is the Terra Labs live resin vape. There's Sativa, and this is Lemonheads. THC sitting at 72.78%. Let's take another hit. And now I am remembering to not hold these deep in my lungs and trying to expel them fairly quickly. And what's the advantage? Other than discretion and convenience? Fast. 72 to 78% THC. That was my second hit. And what the heck, I'm going to do a third. Mm. Oh, I held that almost in too long. You get a really nice taste out of this too. There's a lot of really nice lemon aromas that are coming out of this. Very, very tasty. Let's give you a description of the folks at TerraLab. They start with perfection through indoor craft flowers. And then every step in their process is about preserving that perfection that we started with. Single source, small batch, live resin, no junk. And it's nice that there's no junk inside of that. Live resin vapes versus distillate vapes. They have a little bit of an explanation on that. And here's number four, and I'm really a believer. So the happy eyes are there. Got lots of euphoria going on. Really just kind of a smiley face. This is a really nice sativa. And of course, I got there inside of four tokes instead of smoking three quarters of a joint and putting some into my dry herb vaporizer. It's really a strong. It comes on pretty strong. I find it actually lasts a little bit longer as well, if I can let it sit for a bit. So a big discovery for me this weekend, trying some of the vapes. And I'll give you another report on some others that I tried. I did pick up some wild card as well. A couple of theirs. I like their platinum grapes cured resin. I think I'm sticking with the resin because the distillate prior to this wasn't doing much for me. But the resin is giving me a really nice buzz and doing so in a fairly compressed amount of time and very discreetly. And the Yokan Kodo Pro, it's a great little battery. I think it was about $20. Holds a charge for an incredible amount of time. Really convenient to use. I think where I'm getting my cartridges plugged up a little bit is I am just sticking this in my pocket. And I have learned the lesson that I do need to put the tip cover back on if I stick it in my pocket, or else it gets filled with cloth and all those yuckies. But if I cover that up, I can stick it in my pocket, especially when I'm on the golf course. And then just pull it out and... See, there was another pop. Really nice. So for those of you who have been asking me to do something in relation to vapes, there we go. The world has changed. And it again comes down to our endocannabinoid system. It's what works for you may not work for me, but who knows? Maybe you'll find the same effect with the live resin. And I'm sure some live rosin. I'll take a peek and see if I can find some of those as well. But definitely the live resin is giving me a nice hit. Thank you to Terra Labs and their Lemon Heads Live Resin Vape. Pretty nice hardware. I say it's plugged a little bit, but only because I think I've had it in my pocket and I might have got a little cloth in the end of my tip there. And one more. And once more, you may have heard that pop. So that is a factor of 5 tens. I have found that when I have been working with those, 99% of the time we can apply a little heat externally to it, either with some hot water or some just simply your body warmth sometimes can have an effect on that. If you'd asked me 6 months ago what my thought of getting high off of a 510 cartridge would be, it would have probably been pretty negative. But the last 72, 96 hours... have turned my mind around because I have found them to be quite effective, quite discreet, really easy to use, nice and fast. I don't have to roll anything. Bam, I'm ready to go. So I think they have been added to my cannabis artillery. There is one more device that I can see myself using on a fairly regular basis. So thanks to Lemonheads from Terra Labs and the Yokan Kodo Pro, they come together. I'm dealing with a pretty nice high.
Sharing stories about good weed while trying good weed. This is the Cannabis Podcast.
Now, this next story, I cannot point you to a website where I am retrieving it from. It was a news release that I received through the email.
And what I'm going to do is I will put a link to that PDF that was the news release so that you can access that back on the show page. But I felt this was important because mental health is always important for all of us. And this was one specifically about mental health and cannabis. So let me open up this news release. The recently released final report of the expert panel on the legislative review of the Cannabis Act points both to causes for celebration and reflection as we approach 420 in 2024. The report highlights successes such as the significant reduction in the number of charges for the possession of cannabis and minimizing the negative impact on some individuals from interactions with the criminal justice system. It also highlights areas of concern with respect to youth. Canada continues to report among the highest rates of youth cannabis use in the world, and cannabis use among young adults has increased. In fact, surveys suggest that more than 4 in 10 Canadians between the ages of 20 and 24 report using cannabis in the past year. Increased use among young Canadians is particularly concerning, as youth and young adults are more vulnerable to the potential adverse effects of cannabis, said Dr. Phil Thibault, a professor in the Department of Psychiatry at Dalhousie University, president of the Canadian Consortium for Early Intervention in Psychosis, and scientific advisor for the Cannabis and Mental Health Project. The rise in use is accompanied by a corresponding shift toward the consumption of higher potency cannabis products. This, with daily or almost daily use of cannabis, can have significant mental health implications. At SSC, we are seeing on the ground the struggles youth and their families are facing when it comes to the longer-term risks of cannabis use, said Chris Somerville, CEO of the Schizophrenia Society of Canada. It's so important that youth are educated and can make informed decisions about the use of the substance and develop positive coping strategies and resilience. The SSC has worked with key partners, with the support of Health Canada, to develop resources aimed at educating youth and the adults in their lives on safer consumption. Cannabis and Mental Health and Cannabis and Psychosis are free, evidence-based, engaging resources designed with a variety of key audiences in mind. Speaking from my own experience as a young person and in collaboration with peers, we've discovered that cannabis education is most effective when the resources reflect our real-life experiences and maintain a balanced perspective, said Vijay Raj, outreach coordinator of the Cannabis and Mental Health Project. The Cannabis and Mental Health team also offers free, customized workshops to support youth allies, educators, clinicians, family, and community members in using the resources to enable critical conversations about mental health and substance use. The activities offer fun ways to help youth build resilience and skills to stay balanced and thrive now and in the future. So this year on 420, let's promote mental health by spreading the word about free, effective, and engaging resources to help young Canadians make informed decisions about cannabis use. And we have just done that. And I hope that has some benefit to someone in your world that perhaps needs a little help with their mental health. It's a tough struggle for so many people these days, and we always have to pay attention to that, and we can't be afraid to talk about it, and to talk about it openly. StratCan.com really has their pulse on what's happening in the cannabis world, in Canada specifically, and in BC, and I really enjoy David Brown's stories, and here's another one. Following BC's announcement earlier this year that certain businesses could open patio space to cannabis consumption, a handful of cannabis stores and other businesses in the province have taken action. The Billy Miner Ale House and Cafe in Maple Ridge recently advertised a new outdoor consumption space in partnership with a local cannabis store, Cheeky's Cannabis. Both businesses are owned, at least in part, by parent company Springs Group. Laura Rouse, the co-owner of Cheeky's Cannabis, which also has a location in Vancouver's Kitsilano neighborhood, says the partnership with the Billy Miner will serve as a sort of pilot project to access consumer demand and troubleshoot any challenges. She came up with the idea following BC's announcement in February that locations like pubs and cafes that have patio areas where customers can smoke tobacco can also now allow cannabis consumption. If it goes well at the first location, Russ says she hopes to expand to another pub in Maple Ridge, as well as a new location in Mission near a new store they plan to open in the future. The current and proposed locations are all in coordination with the Springs Group, which Rouse says has been very helpful through the process. We're very grateful to have their support. When I first heard about the amendment, I thought this just makes sense. They already have the space. They have these pubs where people are smoking. Why not enhance the smoking patios and become a little more like a lounge? Set some games up. Make it more appealing to this generation. Ron says she was inspired by other cannabis consumption spaces she's visited, including in the U.S., which gave her a vision of a different kind of community consumption space than how many bars are currently set up. One location in Palm Springs, California, the 420 Bank, was particularly eye-opening. To me, that's my inspiration, is what she's done there. There's games, good ventilation, very open and welcoming. I really think this is the future of pubs. People don't want to just sit around and drink anymore. I think people are interested in having something else to do, and this just makes it more cannabis-friendly. Seed and Stone, another small cannabis chain with a handful of locations in BC, is currently developing a similar space at a cannabis store it operates in partnership with the Songhees First Nations on Vancouver Island. Vikram Shadiva, the founder and CEO of Seed and Stone, says he's working with the local leadership to develop a space with a food truck and an area where customers can enjoy cannabis. Sam Jones, the owner of 2% Jazz Coffee, a cafe in Victoria, also began hosting cannabis-themed events in April. It's a very casual affair, Jones explained to StratCan earlier this year. There's no smoking indoors at all. No buying, nothing like that. It's just an open cafe where people can go out on the patio and smoke a joint. Then you can come back in and enjoy a coffee and some good conversation. Instead, he works with local cannabis companies who help host the event, which can serve as a learning session for those interested. We just wanted to provide a space where the idea of having a joint can be normalized. Further north on the island in Cumberland, the owner of cannabis store True Green Cannabis is helping to develop a community space in the property next to their store that will feature a cannabis consumption space, which store owner Michael Arnia plans to soft launch for April 20th. Mariana Wolf, the owner of Cannabis Cottage, a cannabis store in Penticton, is hosting a grand opening for their own outdoor consumption space in front of their store on April 20th. This was what we were hoping to do from the beginning, Wolf told StratCan. We secured a space with the hope that at some point the government would allow for consumption spaces as well. So right now we're just jumping over the moon. Back in Maple Ridge, Rouse says the ultimate goal is to provide a comfortable place for people to consume cannabis outside of their homes without being pushed back into a back parking lot or alley. My goal is for people to be comfortable, and I think this is a chance for a lot of pubs and similar businesses in BC to bring people back after COVID. And of course, you can also hear about the Cannabis Cottage opening up their cannabis consumption space on the Cannabis Podcast. And that was back in episode 146 when we spoke with Jamie Miller Haywood. I am so stoked that we have finally reached this point that these are opening up around all around the province. There is finally an opportunity to go and actually smoke some cannabis without hiding in your house or, as they say in this story, heading down a back alley and hiding where no one can see you. It's been a long time coming, and I'm glad we have finally reached this point where this is starting to get better.
Exploring the world of Canadian cannabis culture, one toke at a time. This is the Cannabis Podcast.
And we pick this story up from StratCan.com, and this story written by Sarah Clark. In its most recent quarterly report, Avant Brands reported $8.1 million in net revenue and $1.2 million in net income. The BC-based company behind cannabis brands like Black Market, Tenzo, Treehugger, Flower, Cognocenter, and Green Tech recently shared the financial results of its first quarter ended February 29th of 2024. Net revenues increased by 15% compared by the same quarter the previous year, and international sales into markets like Israel, Australia, and Germany increased by 21% for a record $3.3 million. International sales represented 37% of the company's total gross revenue. Revenue on sales into the Canadian non-medical market was $3.4 million, a decline of 19% compared to Q1 of 2023, while B2B sales increased from $60,000 to $1.3 million in the same period. The company also produced a record amount of cannabis in the most recent quarter, with 3,231 kilograms of cannabis, a 23% increase from Q1 of 2023. Sales of cannabis also hit record levels for the company, with over 2,700 kilograms sold. The average sales price for cannabis Avon sold into the international market was $4.30 a gram, while the average price after excise taxes was $5.49 a gram. The company is also seeking partnership in the UK, Switzerland, and other emerging markets. The company's cash flow increased to $3.8 million, while SG&A and corporate expenses decreased 14% from the same quarter in 2023. I'm thrilled by Avant Brands' outstanding Q1 2024 performance, says the company CFO, Jeremy Wright. I'm impressed by the efforts of our sales and operations teams, which are driving record-breaking results. Our strong financial performance, including record net revenue and substantial growth in cash flow from operations, reflects the effectiveness of our strategies. With continued focus, we'll sustain this momentum and drive further growth. It's an exciting time to be back with the team. Vaughn operates cultivation and processing facilities in Chase, Vernon, and Kelowna in BC, and in Edmonton, Alberta, and Tiverton, Ontario, and is approved for sale in all provinces except Alberta and Nova Scotia. Nice to see a cannabis brand doing well, and Avant continues to do so. And there are a couple of other people that I would be remiss if I didn't mention this episode. I've become friends with them over the last couple of years, and that is Jeff and Sherry from Smoker Farms. I really enjoy the company of both Jeff and Sherry. They were invited by Tark to my retirement party. Unfortunately, Sherry had some health issues at the time, and they couldn't make it. Well, guess what? This last week, Jeff and Sherry took me out for lunch. They did. We had a blast. Really getting to know them better. They're getting to know me a little bit better. I shared some pot stories that I haven't shared on the podcast. And a few others. Really enjoyed the conversation. Really enjoyed getting together with them, getting to know them better. Thank you so much for the experience, Jeff and Sherry. I truly enjoyed it, and I can't wait to get together with you again. So as always, once more, let me thank you for being here. I truly appreciate the fact that you were here. I also want to remind you that if you ever have a comment on anything you hear on the Cannabis Podcast, please send a note to info@cannabispodcast.com. I was chatting with some people the other day, and we were kind of musing to, I have a tendency of talking to myself a lot. It's just something that happens. It just comes out. I don't really think about it. Perhaps comes from the fact that I worked for 25 years in a room by myself when I was in radio. And I guess, in reality, I'm talking to myself right now. And that is the reality. Here I am, in a studio, all by myself. There's nobody else around. I am having a conversation with you, even though you're not here. It's kind of weird when you think about it. So some people just get weirded out when they hear me talking to myself, and I just say, get used to it, because I'm doing it all the time. And in fact, I live to talk to myself. Now, I was going to finish off with another joke, as we would typically do, but you know what? There's something that happened to me last week that I think kind of satisfies that need for some humor. And it was just kind of really weird. It was a day that the universe just came together and did kind of everything that I had hoped it would. It was a day of podcast production. The day had gone really well. We'd gone out. We had a round of golf. I was just hitting every shot I wanted, exactly how I wanted to. It was fabulous. We decided to end the day with some burger takeout from BNA, some smash burgers, a local restaurant in Kelowna. Now, this could very well blow your mind, so be ready, and perhaps you should be sitting down when you listen to this. I placed my order for two smash burgers and fries, was told it would be ready in about 10 minutes. A couple minutes later, I jumped into my car and I took what I thought would be the most direct route. As I drove there, I couldn't believe my luck. I squeezed through every green light. And then I pulled up in front of the restaurant, went in, paid cash for my meal. I didn't leave a tip because I picked it up. That's a whole other issue. We can talk about tips for pickups. And as soon as I paid, she went in the back. She got my meal. She returned within a minute. My bagged order, handed it to me. I'm back in the car. I'm now reversing the route. And as I'm driving, I'm starting to shout with glee at the universe, thanks, because each red light I approached turned green moments before my arrival. Every single red light I faced, green, 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 just as I needed it all the way home. From ordering to walking into my home with our delicious smash burgers, 11 and a half minutes. Thank you, universe. All right, I said we weren't going to have any jokes, but I lied. This is from the world of weed. What do you call a stoner with two spliffs? Double-jointed. How do you know when someone's a true pothead? When their bongs get cleaned more often than their dishes. A cop asked the guy, how high are you? And the guy responded with, no, officer, it's hi, how are you? What happens when you eat marijuana? You get a pot belly. And I will leave you with that groan. That is it for episode 152 of the Cannabis Podcast.
From the cannabis-infused studio, high above the Okanagan Valley, this was the Cannabis Podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Season 1 of Dope History is now available at dopehistory.com.
Dope History weaves you through the lives of those who have been touched by cannabis or have had an influence on the events that shaped our laws or relationships with this plant. You'll hear tales from Frenchie Cannoli, Keith Strop, Eddie Lepp, Tom Alexander, Ed Rosenthal, Wolf Seagull, Jorge Cervantes, and Tommy Chong. Available now at dopehistory.com.